Praise the Lord. Well, I want to congratulate you if you are here. See, what we are studying is the key thing in Christianity. And I want to tell you something. For many years, I didn't understand what I'm teaching. Even as a pastor, I didn't understand. Until God opened my eyes to it. And I see a lot of Christians struggle with it. There's a lot of struggle with the gospel. Many people do not understand the gospel. Many. And when the scripture says resist the devil, one of the ways you resist the devil is to walk in the truth. That's one of the ways you keep yourself constantly free. Because God says that what destroys his people is lack of what? Knowledge. To resist the devil is not only to say, I resist you, I rebuke you. Yeah, that's one way. But one major way you do that is to walk in the light all the time. To walk in the light of it. So it will pay you great dividend if you will listen. It will pay you incredible dividend. If you learn how to walk in the truth of the gospel, you will see the power of God all the time in your life. I mean, it's not today and tomorrow. It will be constant. And Jesus will become more real to you. A lot of Christians, Jesus is not real to them. It's just they believe in Jesus. That's what they call mental accent. Mental accent is not, it's not faith. It looks like it, but it's not faith. Let me illustrate to you mental accent. You know, you say, you know, somebody was, in fact, that's a beautiful illustration. Somebody say walks on, you know, these people that walk on rope, they tie this rope across tall buildings, and then they walk across, you remember? Now, they say, can he walk? You say, yes, he can walk. That's mental accent. Faith is, come, let me carry you and let's walk. Because now you realize that you didn't really believe. Because now if you say, let me carry you, you say, no, don't carry me. Why? Because you really don't trust him. But because it's no risk to you, you say, yeah, he can walk. That's what people do. They call it faith. Faith involves serious risk. If I perish, I what? That's faith for you. Yeah, go, let him carry you now. Say you believe you can carry. Yeah, it's time for you to go. Let him carry you across that rope. You are not going. He said, but do you believe you can walk? Yes, I can, but that's accent. You're just accepting that he can, but you don't believe that he can. Because if you believe, you go there and let him carry. We need teachings on faith to really begin to understand what faith is. Faith is so simple, so easy, but we miss it all the time. It's the same thing with the gospel. So we're going to talk about the gospel. Amen? We're going to talk about what? About the gospel. In line with the life, how to live the Christian life. I lived many years with stress, thinking that I was living the Christian life. It wasn't that. And it wasn't producing for me. Neither was it producing for my dear wife. Nothing. It wasn't producing anything. Until God began to open my eyes. That what you are doing is Old Testament. You should come into the New Testament. So we're talking about transformed by renewing of the mind. 1 Corinthians 3. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belong to this world and as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk. The televisions are not on, not to talk of having any scriptures on them. Which one is on? Okay. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. Now, Paul is talking to Christians, believers. And this is the church where spiritual gift was the greatest. I've said it here, spiritual gift doesn't mean you are spiritual. It's a gift God can use anybody. God used the animal to talk. God is using you to do anything doesn't mean you are spiritual. Just forget it. You can be very carnal, but God can use you for those things. Because it's purpose to use you anyway. So this Corinthian church was full of, the Bible said concerning spiritual gift, they came behind in, there's no church that beats them. But here we are talking about their spirituality, their real evaluation. And Paul is saying, you are a bunch of carnal people. He said, I can't even bring solid food to you. He said, you can't take it. Pretty soon you see that carnal-minded people can't receive the things of God. It's a pretty dangerous situation. What we're discussing is one of the most serious issues to talk about in Christendom. Amen. So in verse 3, it says, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? It's a simple question. It's a simple question. This should challenge us seriously. So the main problem is carnal-mindedness. It locks a Christian into behavioral pattern of the world where he's governed by his natural senses, where he's governed by his emotions, where he's governed by his feelings, where he's governed by the human wisdom, none of which has anything to do with God. It locks the person into that. And the thing about carnal-mindedness is that the person doesn't even know. Just like pride. Pride, if they tell you you're pride, you may not believe it. You might say, because you are doing what you think is being humble. But your actions betray that you are proud. When the Lord told me I was a proud man, I went to my wife. That will tell you how stupid I was. Because I didn't believe it. I went to my wife. I said, the Lord said I'm proud. She said, yes, you are. I said, really? She said, I've been praying for you too. I couldn't believe it. And the Lord said to me, you're such a proud man. He said, your own pride is in a class of his own. So you go to church and tell them how you use, you rub all this, you use this soap, bar soap, and then you say they are telling them all that, and that you don't, you know, things of this world you don't really want. He said, that's total pride. He said, the worst pride is to be proud of your humility. He said, that's a terrible thing. To be proud of your what? Humility. To be proud of your goodness. He told me, he said, that's what one of the worst type of pride in this world. And because the devil will hide it and you won't know. He said, I'm going to break it. I will break it because I will resist the proud every day. He said, if I'm going to use you, I'm going to destroy that thing myself. Watch out. And he did. He did. And when he started, I was crying and yelling, nobody to help. He did. And he gave my wife the date, that thing will stop. By the time I came out, I was walking like Ahab with the ashes on my head. This mouth, to talk about somebody, difficult. You haven't been into anything. To talk about somebody, difficult. So carnal-mindedness is a state of mind where you don't even know you're carnal. And if they tell you you're carnal, you won't believe it. Because the things of God are not known to you. You don't have the ability to discern what God is seeing. You don't have the ability to evaluate things the way God evaluates them. You're always evaluating things from human point of view. That's a dangerous state of mind. That's what Jesus told Peter. He said, get behind me. You are a dangerous trap. You say things like, man, see. He said, it's a dangerous trap. Peter, get out of here, Satan. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Did you see that? Carnally minded will separate you from walking in fellowship with God. It will separate you. And 7, he said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They can be religious, though. That's part of being carnal. You remember the Pharisees were so religious that Paul says, I testify that they were what? Full of zeal, but they lack knowledge. You can be so zealous and still be very carnal and be zealous. That's the thing about this thing. And so one of them came to Jesus. He said, what must I do to have eternal life? You think he came to land? Cana people don't land. They don't land. I'm telling you. Paul said, can I give you this? You can't take it. You won't understand it. So why am I telling you? Cana people have difficulty learning spiritual truth. And they will defend what they are doing because they don't know any. The violation they have is from natural. They will defend it, even use Bible to cover it. So this man came to Jesus and said to Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit what? So you think he came to land? He didn't come to land. He came to show Jesus he was awesome. So Jesus said, okay, what is written in the law? How do you read? The man said, I read it. And then he quoted it for Jesus, and Jesus said, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, you go and do that, and you shall live. You know what he told them? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All your heart. And Jesus said, that's wonderful. So do that, you shall live. So he said to Jesus, okay, who is my neighbor? Who is what? If you read that verse, the Bible said the reason he asked that question was to justify himself. He wanted to further show Jesus, I'm top notch. I am what? Top notch. So, I've passed this one, right? So, okay, you say to love your neighbor, right? Okay, who is what? My neighbor. The Bible says, wanting to justify himself. He had the great desire to show forth his goodness. Wanting to. That's carnality for him. He didn't come to Jesus to learn nothing. Carnal mindedness will make you defend what you are doing, even when God says this is wrong. I've had Christians come to me and say, hey, God told me not to do this, but pastor. You're saying, it's common. Many of us do that. You know I wouldn't do this, but yep. Am I right here? Come on, talk to me. You know it now. It's not that you don't know, but because what's controlling you is not the Spirit of God. It's your feeling, it's your emotion, it's your natural mind. Praise the Lord. So, they resist the word of God, they resist the truth. The 1 Corinthians 2:14 shows you what this carnal mindedness can do to a human being. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So how can he receive it? When God is saying, don't do this, how can he receive it? He doesn't receive the things of God. It sounds foolish to him. It does not appeal to his senses. His common sense does not approve of it. So he feels he's right. He knows what he's doing. And then sometimes they go and bring another scripture, twist it around and support what they're doing. So he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually now discerned. You know what Paul calls carnal mindedness? Drunken stupor. Have you seen somebody get so drunk that he loses his... Yes, I was walking one thing on Asia, and I met one man. The man ran into a pole, electric pole. Then he came back and was rebuking the electric pole. He said, my friend, this is how people drink. You wouldn't know where you're going. And you're running into people, disturbing people. He was talking to a standing electric pole. I was watching him. Then one time when I was doing my internship at ABU Teaching Hospital, I was driving somewhere early in the morning, and I saw some police officers. I was interested to know what was going on. There was a man insisting that he was going home. And he was pointing to a heap of rubbish. He said, that's my house. I was entering the bush. They were telling him, no, that's the bush. He said to the police people, you people drink early in the morning. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, that's my house over there. You know where he was pointing? A heap of rubbish. He said, I'm almost home now. He was entering bush. And they were trying to bring him out, but he was telling them they were drunk. They didn't know what they were doing. You know, we laugh. But let's see what the Spirit of God says in 1 Corinthians 15:34. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake from your... That's amplified, I'm reading. Amplified. Awake from your what? Drunken stupor and return to sober sense. Is it not how it describes carnality? Return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. I say this to your shame. That's Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, is it correct? Luke 15:17 described the prodigal son. He said, when he finally came to his what? Senses. Of course, that's what it is. Because if I'm operating a sense that is not controlled by the Holy Spirit, then I'm really not in my right mind. I'm not in my right mind. So he says about the prodigal son, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I'm dying of hunger. So he began to think of his father and what the father can do. So it's important that we, the most important thing you can do for yourself as a Christian is get your mind renewed. I can't help you beyond this. Believe you me, I can't help you beyond this. The most important thing you can do to yourself as a Christian is to get your mind what? You don't have any need for carnal mindedness, because you'll be in a drunken stupor. You make decisions when you grow up and realize what you are doing. Are you serious? And it will affect everything you do, because you can't walk with the Spirit of God in fellowship concerning the things. You may be very zealous. I was so zealous. In fact, I think my middle name became Zealotus. Chinedu the Zealot. Man, I'll do evangelism. I'm not kidding you. Both of us would do evangelism house to house. We'd do everything. But I was so carnally minded. And yet they didn't know. Because my definition of church is activities. 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 But God's definition of church is life. It's the life you live. Amen? I said amen. Amen. And there's only one way we deal with this thing. The scripture told us, the only one way a man can be transformed is to renew his mind. There are not two ways. There are not two ways of doing it. You can't do it by determination. I say tomorrow I'm going to be better. You can't do it by all this kind of junk. It won't help you. The only way you can get this done is to what? Renew your mind. That's what the word of God says. And to renew your mind, you have to renew your mind with the proper knowledge. You must renew your mind with the truth. You must renew your mind with what? The truth. If you fill your mind with the law, the Pharisees had a lot of law in them, but they were very carnal. They were totally carnal. If you fill yourself with the wrong stuff, your mind is still not renewed. It's not going to work. And I had this going for years. I thought I was getting the thing, but I wasn't. Because my background affected me. My background was a background entrenched in works and do's and don'ts. So the thing followed me for many years. Until God saw my misery, I started opening my eyes. I started dropping them like hot potato. It was a struggle, because I would try to move. That thing, wrong doctrine is dangerous. I would try to move. The thing would come. It's like, you are doing what is wrong. I go back again. And then go back into stress. I'm telling you the truth. When I go, I come out again. It's like, this is not it. Though. I go back again. I'm pleading with you with all my heart. Avoid wrong doctrine. It can follow you for years. To get rid of it, oh my God. So renew your mind with the truth, because the truth is always truth. Can I hear amen here? So the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove now, so that you can now know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If my mind is not renewed, I cannot know the perfect and good will of God, because God is talking A and I'm talking B. And in my mind, I'm justified. But in God's eyes, I lost my mind. So we must have the truth in us. 3 John 3. You see, that's our theme for this year, walking in the truth. 3 John 3. For I rejoiced greatly. I rejoiced how? Greatly. When the brethren came and testified of the truth, that is in thee. The truth that is in thee. The truth has to be in you. It has to be in me. The truth has to be in you and has to be in me first, before I can talk of walking in it. So if to renew my mind is to have the truth in me, to have the revelation of the truth in me first. First. Everybody say first. That's where it starts. Because if I don't renew my mind with the knowledge of the truth, my walk will not be in truth. It will not be in truth. So he said, I rejoice that the truth is first of all in you. Is indeed, even as thou walkest in the truth now. So the most important thing is to have the truth in me so that I can walk in the truth. So, but there are some factors that, before we go and talk about this truth and then differentiate it from these other things that people think is what they should learn and they follow them, and it's not really taking us anywhere. There are some four factors I found that will enhance you knowing the truth. Number one is that you must have a willingness to live by the truth. You see, these people, John said they love the truth. He said they love the truth. You see, what you love, you enjoy when you do that. Once you start complaining, you don't love that thing. Anything you love, you don't complain about it. Am I right? No, you don't complain. Once you start complaining, you are tired of that thing. They say the way to a lover's house is never too long. It's never too far, because it's your lover. So no, even if you have to trek 100 miles, you won't feel it. But if it's your mother-in-law, you will feel it. Even if it's 1 mile, you say, I've gone there yesterday, I'm not going another 6 months. So they loved it. You have to have a willingness. You have to have developed a desire to know the truth. There has to be a willingness to walk in it and a desire to know it. There has to be a what? Willingness to walk in it and what? A desire. The Bible said there has to be first a willing heart. If you are not interested in it, what will God show you? If you have no interest in knowing the truth, what is God going to show you? Nothing. Because it's what you seek, you find. The scripture says, seek and you what? Find. If you have no interest and you want religion, remember the Pharisees, they read this Bible in and out. They studied it, and Jesus testified. He said, these people, you see, they have this thing. He said, the seat of Moses, they're sitting there. And they have this thing. They read this thing. They read it. And they know it like the back of their hand. And they quote it easily. But they didn't have understanding. The Bible says, in spite of the fact they read it, they fulfilled everything written there, even though they are reading it every Sabbath day, they will read all of that. One of the things to be a Pharisee is to, if you go to Israel today, you realize that they will cram the Bible, they will write it in small boxes and carry it here. It's their culture, even up to today. But Jesus said, you don't love the truth. You don't want to come to the truth. You don't want to. You don't. So you have to have a willingness. You have to have a desire to know the truth. And then that will show up in your prayer. Because if you are willing, you start asking God, like David did, open down my eyes that I will behold wondrousness. And like Paul was praying to the church, he said that God will open our eyes of what? Understand. That tells God that this is important to you. Because God will not give his peers. Peers? P-E? Huh? What? If you chew your tongue, you don't come here. God will not give his... P-E-A-R-L. How do you pronounce it? Pearl, right? Yeah. I would have stayed back in Lagos. What's all this? God will not give it to what? Pigs. Why? They don't value it. Do you know why God hid the truth for the Jews? They didn't value it. And God said, in seeing they will see, they will not see anything. Hearing they will hear, he said, because they don't value it. You, we human beings, will you give a treasure to somebody who doesn't value it? That knowledge is treasure to God. But Paul called it treasure in earthen vessel. He called it a treasure. If the truth is not a treasure to you, believe you me, you can be coming to church reading the Bible, to marking your Bible all you want to. You'll be reading it with natural knowledge. I'm telling you the truth. So it will show up in your prayer as it becomes something important to you. In fact, the book of Proverbs chapter 2 said, if you seek it like you seek silver, gold, then God will begin to. Did you see how Paul was seeking the thing? That I might what? Know him. It was the desire of his heart. It was what the mouth, it kept him awake. He wanted to, and God gave it to him. And God gave him abundance of revelation. So it's the same pattern. It's the same. One of the most important prayers my wife and I pray is that God will open our what? Eyes. We pray for you. We pray for the family. We pray for ourselves. I pray it all the time. When I start praying most of the time, not every day, most of the time, I tell God, I say, Lord, I need for you to open my what? My eyes. I don't want to walk in blindness. Because that's fooling myself. Fooling myself. And when I read scripture, I don't read what do you, these things they what they call these books they refer they go to. Eh? Concord. I don't read them. I don't have need of them. I don't have need of them. If I when I get stuck in scripture, such opportunity to say, Lord, I need revelation here. What are you saying here? And it has never failed. It has never failed. That's how I get revelation. It has never failed. And God will begin to answer that prayer because you need to rely on the Spirit of God. And then pray in the Spirit a lot. If you want to really see revelation come to you, boy, pray in the Spirit what? A lot. It will surprise you what will happen in your life. Praise the Lord. And then the other thing that you must do is that you must be prepared to respond to it. If God gives you a revelation about this, God wants you to act on it. If you are not acting on it, more is not coming. Nope. Until you start acting on what you should. Let's read the Luke chapter 8, verse 18, New Living Translation. No, Luke 24, 31, sorry. How did I confuse myself with a lot of Luke's? Okay, Luke 8, 18, let's see. Luke 8:18. Luke 8, what? So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, what will happen? More understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be what? Taken away from them. They will go stale. That's what it means. They will go stale. It's like all of a sudden, all you know is stale because God keeps updating your information. Revelation is, you can't have all of it your whole lifetime. There has to be update. There has to be update. There has to be building up in knowledge, building up in knowledge, building up in knowledge. And you're like, wow. You're like, wow. You're like, wow. Every time it brings the wow moment all the time. Praise the Lord. You know the word pursue peace and things? Only yesterday I got it. Pursue peace. I've preached it. I said, we'll preach for pursue it. And the Lord told me, he said, know what it means? I said, no. He said, on purpose, do it. Whether you feel like it or on purpose, do it. Just do it on purpose. Not because you feel like. But do it what? That's what it means to pursue. Do it on purpose. And that means that you are not going to be carnally minded and allow your carnal mind to stop you from doing it because you don't feel like it. No, no, no. You are going to do it on purpose because that's the mind of God. That's the spirit leading you. That you are operating a different mindset now. You're not operating the other mindset. Amen? I said amen. Amen. So these are the things that will enhance us to receive revelation. Again, so what is the truth? John 1:17. I want you to follow me here because I'm going to say some things here that you better hear. You better hear them all. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses. The law was given by who? Moses. But for the law was given through Moses. But God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through. Give me King James Version there. King James Version. For the law was given by Moses, but what and what? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It is significant. This statement, if you understand this statement, you're on your way. You don't get it, you have a problem. The Spirit of God differentiated for us two important information here. The law is important. Nobody says it's not important. But the Holy Spirit said, Moses brought the law. Jesus didn't bring the law. He brought something totally different. That's not the law. He said, Jesus brought us what? Grace and truth. So if you want your mind renewed, the ministry of Moses cannot renew your mind. It cannot renew your mind. It cannot renew your mind. But that's why a lot of Christians stupor. They are thinking of what to do. The ministry of Moses really primarily is about what you have to what? But the ministry of Christ is about what God is doing. They are not the same thing. They are not the same thing. Can I hear amen here? They are not the same thing. Let's read some scriptures here. Hebrews 7:19. Hebrews 7, what? For the law never made anything perfect. You see what Moses brought? Never made anything what? Perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. So the one that Jesus brought is what brings us to God. But the one that Moses brought makes nothing what? Perfect. Do you know why? Can somebody tell me why? Why? The law makes nothing perfect, but this other one that Christ brought draws us to God. That's what makes us perfect. So why? Why is it that the law makes nothing perfect, but this other one makes us good? Theology. Let me explain to you why. I want you to look up here. Stop right there. You must get it here. Please, I'm begging you. You know why the law cannot make anything perfect? Because you and I operate it. And because we operate it, we will never do anything perfect. Never. The law is you and I. We operate it. We do it. And because we do it, there is nothing on earth that you and I will do perfectly. It's not possible. Nothing. Because we do it. Let me repeat it. The law makes nothing what? Perfect. Because we are the ones doing it. And because it is you and I, we will never do anything perfect. Because we can't be as holy as God. It's impossible. So in operating the law, we are still imperfect. We can't do it properly. But now the bringing in of a better hope, please listen to me here. Church, listen to me here. It will bless you if you get it. Bringing in on a better hope is bringing in the truth and grace, which is a testimony of what God is now doing. And it is only God that can do perfect things. Only Him. So what God is doing in your life is perfect. But what you are doing on your own is what? Imperfect. How many of you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? So the truth is the testimony of the work of grace, which God did for us in Christ. Those things that God did are perfect work. Somebody shout hallelujah. They are perfect work. And what God is doing in your life today is a perfect work. And what He will do tomorrow is a perfect work. And all you need to do is to walk in it by faith. You walk in His perfection, in His perfect work. Only God can do perfectness. For many years, I worked in the other one. And, oh Jesus. And I never got satisfaction because I always saw the imperfection. The Bible says that by the deeds of the law shall no man be what? Justified. It said it is evident. It is evident. It is evident. So, majority of Christians are operating under Moses' ministry. Trying to do and bring it to God as what? Perfect. And God says, no. If it is flesh, it will profit nothing. But if it is spirit, it will give life. I don't know. Am I shooting over your head? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you. You see the work of God? The perfect thing God is doing is what is working in you, both to will and to do what? Come on, church. And to do what? You see that work of God in you that is producing through you is perfect. That's why He said, my arm has done all these things for me. He said to Solomon, are you trying to build me a house? What house? He said, it's my arm that builds it. And Paul said that God is not served with the arms of men. He's not served with the arms of men. It is God at work in you and me, both to will and to make us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 1:11. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. May you always be filled with the fruit of what? Is fruit works? Is fruit works? No. It's a product of seed. Fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by who? Church, come on, by who? For this will bring much glory and praise to God. It is Christ, it is the Holy Spirit, it is Him, the work of grace, the work of grace. Truth is a testimony about the work of grace that God is doing for you in Christ. That is what Jesus brought. I said, Emmanuel, God is what? Here. And God came to do something. He came to do something. He said, the one you are doing is imperfect, can't make you perfect, but I've come to make you now perfect. Because this one I'm doing is perfect, and all you need to do is to walk in it. Walk in it. You are not perfect, but the work I'm doing is what? Perfect. And so he said, the just shall live his life by faith, in trusting what God is doing. You will see where Paul brought it out. In fact, Paul said that this is the principle of Christians. So Jesus said to us in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, church now, without me, I'm asking you, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, if a man abide not what? You know what it means to abide in him is to rely on him. A branch relies entirely on the tree. A branch relies entirely what? On the tree. The fruit you see on that branch is what the tree produces. And Jesus used it to illustrate the work he's doing in your life and in my life. I am begging you to get this in. Because for many years I was working in Moses' ministry and produced nothing. And let me tell you, if you don't understand it, the devil will make a mincemeat of you. You will always be fighting with him. I'm not kidding you. Walk away from all those things. Come into the New Testament and enter the rest of God. You will see wonders. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, that relies on me, and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit. For without me you can do. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He's thrown out. He's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, cast them into. They will lose spiritual battles. Men will trample upon them. The devil will kick them around. They will lose spiritual battles all the time. All the time. Because they have no spiritual energy. He said they wither up. They dry up. I want it to sink into you. And they are born. 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my. He said, this is the way to be my disciples. This is the way to follow me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Can I hear praise the Lord here? Then Paul came and reinforced these things. Look at Acts chapter 13:43. Acts 13:43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them. Church, they persuaded them to what? Continue in the grace of God. They persuaded them. They were begging them. They were pleading with them that the work of grace is what you need to continue in. You have to be what? Look, it's just exactly what God says. You said, you come to walk in this thing that I'm doing. You come to benefit from what I'm doing. You come to enjoy what I'm doing. He said, was begging them to continue. Let me tell you something. The word grace is the heart of the gospel. If you remove grace from your message, you have no gospel to preach. The gospel is a work of grace that God did for mankind in Christ Jesus. If you remove the word grace, that's not the gospel. Let me repeat that. If you remove the word grace, church, you are preaching lullaby. Humpity dumpity, sat on the wall. And in the ministry of Moses, there was no grace. And it brought death. Because it was men doing that. There was no grace at all. But Jesus brought us grace and what? Truth. And Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Can I hear amen here? When you see people walking in grace, they are fresh all the time. It's no struggle. It's no struggle. And believe you me, they are walking in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They may not look it to you, but they are walking with the Holy Spirit. to get them confused is difficult. Very difficult. Extremely difficult. Because they're walking with the Spirit of God. They've learned to rely on Him, to abide in Him. And they're bearing a lot of what? Fruit. Praise the Lord. So the work of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ is what we should embrace, believe. And when you believe it, it will become real in your life. Let me say it again. When you believe the testimony of the work of grace, when you accept it, embrace it, the Spirit of God brings it into reality in your life. Just like you believe healing, it comes into reality. You believe the testimony of grace, it comes into reality. It's the same way. You embrace it, you accept it, you declare it to be true, you see it working in your life without effort. Let's read at Paul, Romans 6:5. Let's see this man. Romans 6:5. Since we have been united with him in his death, I want you to see what Paul believed. I want you to see how his life transformed. You will see the difference right here. Since we have been united with him in what? In his death. He believed that we are, okay, in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. 6. We know that our old sinful self were crucified with what? Christ. So that sin might lose its power. You know. Do you see what this man believes? He believes the work of grace on the cross. He made his boast on the cross. He said, this cross is where I'm making my boast. The work of grace on the cross. Church, if we miss the cross, we are finished. The devil will give you the laws and everything and take away the cross from you. Without cross, there is no glory. Can I hear amen? Amen. Paul believed in everything that God did on the cross of Calvary. And he lived by faith in everything that God did there. That is the perfect work of God. That is what will make a man what he is. So he said in verse 6, we know that our old sinful selves, we are crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. What? In our life. We are no longer slaves to sin. You see what he believed? So if you go to Paul and say, you should not be sin, he said, don't worry, I'm no more a slave to that thing. Paul, how are you no more a slave to that? He said, when Christ died, our sinful nature was what? Crucified. The work that God did, the work of grace, the truth, the testimony. Are you following what I'm saying? He wasn't living by 10 commandments. He was living by the works of grace on the cross of Calvary. He said, we know it. You are not telling us what we don't know. We know it. That the power of sin has been what? Crucified. We know it. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he will be. When he believes that sin is under his feet, then sin will be under his feet. As simple as ABCD. So he won't go around preaching sin, talking about sin in the morning, preaching in the afternoon, preaching. How do you preach about something that God has killed? Verse 7. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Somebody shout hallelujah. Did you see what this man believes? You see what he believes? That God set him free from the power of what? Sin. So he knows that sin can't control him anymore. He's not saying that I'm going to deal with sin. No, he said, we were set free. The work of God, the perfect work of God on the cross is that he set me free from the control of sin and that he destroyed the power of sin in my life. Again, that's his faith. What verse did I read last? So let's read 8 together. And since we what? Die with Christ. What do we know? We will also live with him. Verse 9. What are we sure about? We are sure of this because Christ was raised from death and he will never die again. Death no longer has what? Verse 10. When he died once to break the power of what? Did you see the work of God that God did? He broke the power of sin. This man believed it with all his heart. And that's the truth of the gospel. That Christ has set us what? The man believes it. He's not living by 10 commandments. Don't do, 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 do. No, 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 no. It's not what he's doing. He's talking about what God has done in Christ. He's telling them emphatically. He said, we know. He said, we are sure. He said, we are persuaded that sin has been dealt with and sin will not control me. Our sin is under my feet. And as a man thinks, so it will be. As a blessed ABCD. So he's not waking up tomorrow and bothering about sin. I don't wake up tomorrow and think of Grayson Bourne. My late mother, she's dead. If I think of tomorrow, I say, hey, I wonder why we see my mother. Something is wrong with my head. If the church is preaching sin, 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 they are ignorant of the cross. If they believe this thing, they will teach people that you are free from control of what? Sin. Because if you believe it, you will see the glory of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? How many of you get what I'm saying? Let's continue. What's the next verse? Let's read 11 together, everybody. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through. He said, consider yourself that you are dead to this, you don't respond to it. Do you see the difference between grace and truth and Moses? It's about what God is doing, what he did on the cross, and what God is doing today. Romans 6:12 tells us because we are free now, that it's a matter of choice what we do. So you can't wake up and say, I'm bound by something. I'm bound by this. Paul said, no, no, no. That if you come into Christ, that Christ has set you free. So that what you do now is a matter of your choice. Romans 6:12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desire. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. You see where it's coming from? You have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. For him. Why? Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. It's not at the time of Moses. Jesus has brought us grace and truth. And then he continued. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. The work of grace. You are set you free. So you live under this freedom. 15. Well then, since God's grace, let's read 15 together. I want us to read it together, everybody. Let's go. Since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Then the next verse, 16. Don't you realize that you became the slave of what you choose now to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose now to obey God, which leads to. So it's a matter of. So you can't say, I'm bound by this habit. That's what he's saying. You're not bound by any habit. Because when you came to Christ, the power of that habit was what? Destroyed. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear a big hallelujah. But what do we hear Christians say? You know, this runs in our family. You don't know the cross. You have no idea. You don't even believe in the cross. You have no idea what Paul is talking about. We should be testifying the same thing with the Holy Spirit is saying. That this sin has no power over you. I don't care whether it's running in your generation or your generation. The moment you came to Jesus, the Holy Spirit said the power of that thing has been what? Destroyed. The reason you are struggling with it, you don't believe the gospel. You don't even understand the gospel. No, that's carnal mindedness I'm talking about now. You don't even believe it. So you start looking for, I'm not going to do this again. And I'm going to do that. You start looking for what you are going to do. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this. And Jesus is watching you and say, hey, you are not relying on me now. You are not relying on me. You can't bear fruit. You can't. What you are trying to do is beyond you. That's why I came to help you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Okay? Look at Galatians 6:14. Am I communicating anything? Huh? Is it hard? Is this easy? How are we doing? Doing okay? Praise the Lord. So Galatians 6:14. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see the testimony of Paul? Always talking about what? The cross. And what God did, what? The cross. He relied entirely on the gospel. That's why the gospel is the power of God. Because the gospel is talking about the power of God in manifestation. What God did. So he says, Lord, okay. As for me, okay. May I never boast about anything except the cross of what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, church, because of that cross, this man is talking about nothing except what happened where? On the cross, the work of God, the testimony of the work of grace. He said, it is because of the cross my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Because of the cross. Not because of me, but because of what Christ did for me on the cross. He said, because of the cross. He said, I can't boast of anything else except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, may God open our eyes that our boast will be only what? On the cross of Jesus. You can wake up, you can't thank God enough for the cross. So he continued there. He says, verse 15. Let's read 15 together. It doesn't matter whether we have been what? Circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new. He said, that's what is important. That you are a new creature now. That in this new form you are, you have a new life and sin does not rule it. That you are free. That he set you free. Somebody say amen. He said, that's what counts. Let's finish it. The next verse. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by what? This principle. They are the new people of God. Those who live by this principle of depending on what God did on the cross. Those who believe the cross. Those who believe the gospel. Say, these are the new people of God. Church, I'm telling you, many Christians don't understand the gospel. They don't know it. Oh my God. I was like that for years. I thought I understood until God spoke to me. I said, you know, you don't know my son at all. You know, I've told this story several times. He said, you don't know my son at all. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's why Paul developed, he said, the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, wow. Because he found in Christ the answer to his issues. 2 Corinthians 5:15. All right. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for everyone so that those who received his new life, those who receive what? Church, those who receive what? Called eternal life. We no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. He said he died. So this life we have, selfishness is dead. That once you receive this life, you can't live for yourself no more. Then continue the next verse. So we have stopped evaluating others from human. So we're not carnally minded here. At one time, we thought of Christ merely as from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. May God give us this revelation. Then he continued. This means that anyone now who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. And a new life has begun. Continue. And all of this is a gift from God. You see the work of grace. Who brought us back to himself? You see the work of God. He brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. Ready now. Oh, God. I will stop here. See, as I was teaching you people, I sense it's like I was swimming against the current. Have you ever swept against the current? The Lord will help us. Did you get what I said? How many of you understood what I said? If you don't put your faith in the cross, you're outside the gospel. The cross is everything. The work of the cross is everything. That's where our life was transformed. That's our hope of glory, Christ in us. That's where God did everything to change us, that we dealt with sin. That's why he dealt with Satan. That's why he dealt with your sickness. That's why he dealt with everything. And then once you come into faith in that gospel, you experience all of those things, A to Z. But you have to believe it. But the problem is, do we have understanding of these things? As Paul had it, all he's writing about is the cross. He's talking about this. See what this. He said, we're sure of this. Say, we know this thing. Say, Jesus rose from the dead. We too will rise again. Come on. Didn't you see all that testimony he was giving? What they're talking about, he said, I can't boast of any of the thing. He said, God forbid. I don't have any hope in any other thing. I don't have glory anywhere except in the cross of Jesus. He said, that is the place that my nature changed. And the world was crucified to me. I lost interest in the world, not because of what I do, but because of the cross. Law of Moses is what men do, cannot bring you to perfection. But what Christ did is what brought you to perfection. I want us to rise up a little bit. Brethren, we should go back to the gospel. I'm telling you, I'm begging you.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.